Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Uncommon Cast. We are so excited to be here today. We have a great conversation lined up for you, but we just want to say thanks to everybody who's listening. We have people tuning in around the world, which is weird and awesome. And so we just want to say hi, and we're glad that you're with us on this journey in this conversation. And today we are here with somebody special, but I'm going to throw it over to Cody to introduce them.
Yeah, so we're here with Dan Britton. He's a co-author of the book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And it's just talking about choosing a word for the year. And he's going to explain a little bit more about that. But he's a co-author with a guy, John Gordon, that we've known from speaking engagements in the past and retreats that we've done. And he connected us, and we're just really excited to talk to you today, Dan.
It's great to be on the podcast today. And friend of John is a friend of mine. So I've been with John for a long time and had some great life experiences with him. And we've written together three books now, actually, and along with Jimmy Page. Not that Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, yeah. But another Jimmy Page, you know. So, yeah, Jimmy, John, and I have written three books around this concept of one word.
And we really got, this is kind of in a way a follow-up to our last podcast with Ken Blanchard, where he kind of talked about choosing a path for the year or choosing some goals for the year. And so we just felt like this was an amazing follow-up. So will you just kind of explain a little bit about your one word philosophy? And then I'd love to hear how you've seen it be successful for people.
Well, it started in 1999.
Okay.
I don't know if our audience was alive then, but you know, remember Y2K?
Yes. In high school.
Yes. See, you were alive. So
yeah.
It was Y2K, and I had a young family of three kids, and we lived 15 minutes outside of nation's capital, and Okay. Everyone thought that the world was going to melt when it turned to 2000.
Totally.
Right? Like rockets were going to go off and bombs were going to explode. And so we thought, like, hey, being in D.C., we're going to be the first ones to go, you know,
completely
going to melt and everything's going to shut down. And what happened? Nothing happened. You know,
it was the most anticlimactic moment ever. Everyone was like, and then nothing.
But we were glad nothing happened.
Yeah, totally.
So anyways, that just sets the context that in 1999, it was November heading into Y2K, and being right outside of D.C., everybody was buzzing about what was going to happen. Was the government going to shut down? And, you know, basically half of the D.C. area worked for the government or contract for the government. So it was a talk of everyone. And so I get in the car with a friend of mine named Steve Fitzhugh, who used to play professional football. And Steve and I were going to a youth conference in Ocean City, Maryland, which is about 3 hours from D.C. And Steve got in the car. We got our Dunkin' Donuts. We didn't have Starbucks back then. So it was Dunkin' Donut or nothing. And we had Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and we had a three-hour drive to go to this conference of 5,000 kids where both of us were going to speak. And I remember like it was yesterday, guys, that Steve leaned over and he says, hey, we're heading into Y2K. World might end, but if it doesn't end and we actually have another year, what's your one word for the year 2000? Well, I thought he was talking about my 7-page Word document with all my roles and my goals and my objectives and my targets and everything that I map out every year. I'm a little over the top, right? A little intense, like former professional lacrosse player, played sports all my life and driven. And I had everything benchmarked out. And, you know, of course, at the end of the year, I'd accomplish like 10% of it and I'd redo it and try it again and usually would fail. And so I thought Steve was talking about my 7-page Word document. So we had 3 hours. I gave him about 30 minutes of just what I was going to accomplish. He sat patiently drinking his Dunkin' Donut coffee. And I get done and I'm like thinking he's impressed. You know, like I have my stuff going on for Y2K.
I have 7 whole pages.
Yes, exactly, Dawn. And he goes, Dan, he says, I didn't ask for a sermon. I asked for one word. And I was like, ah. And he goes, so what's your one word? And I thought about it for a while. And I came up with this cool slogan. You know, I had like a sentence or two that I zipped it all down into like a sentence or two. And I said it. And Steve, you know, he's a former NFL player. And he looked at me and he goes, Dan, you really are stupid. I didn't ask for a phrase. I asked for a word.
And, no missing words there.
Yes. And I was stuck. I was so like, I was angry at him and I was more frustrated with myself because I couldn't simplify it down into one word. How can you take 7 pages of all these goals and everything I wanted to accomplish for the year and like narrow it all the way down into one word? So when you're stuck, what do you always do? You turn it on the other person. So I said, okay, smarty pants, you know, you obviously are trying to trick me. What's your one word? And I tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday, almost 20 years ago. He said, Dan, you know, I travel all over the world. I speak to hundreds of thousands of kids every year. He says, my one word for the year 2000 is harvest.
Hmm.
And I knew Steve lived in DC and there was a lot of concrete and not a lot of fields. And I thought he wanted to be a farmer. I'm like, what do you mean harvest? Like, are you kidding me? What's harvest? Yeah. And I'll never forget. He said this. He says, Dan, as I speak around the country and around the world, I want to plant seeds of greatness into the next generation and see them rise up.
That's awesome.
I'm getting chills telling you that, like, yeah. You know, 20 years later. And he goes, that's my word for the year, harvest. And he goes, so what's your word? And I said, Steve, my word for the year is harvest. I said, it's not my word. I said, man, I need time to reflect and to pray and journal and meditate. I cannot rush into this. It's big. If I'm taking 7 pages and narrowing it down into one word. And so I like to run in the morning. I like to read and do some quiet time where I'm journaling and processing each morning. And I got out and was running. And about 2 weeks later, guys, Cody and Dawn, it was like a lightning bolt hit me. The word intimacy hit me. And see, I just like Steve, I spent a lot of time with people and I know people, I'm a mile wide and an inch deep phrase, right? So as the saying goes, I was a mile wide and an inch deep. And I wanted to go deep in my relationships, my relationship with God, my relationship with my family, my kids, and my teammates that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the year 2000 might've been Y2K, but for me, it was the year of intimacy. It changed my life that I could narrow everything down, all those 7 pages, and come down to this one word to provide laser-like focus on the front side. And on the back side, it gave clarity to my all 6 dimensions, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, relational, and even financial. It was a game changer.
Hmm.
Wow. That's awesome.
I have to say, since 20 years ago, this kind of idea of a word for the year has gained a lot of popularity, right? And sometimes I do it and sometimes I didn't, but I had a moment like your moment this year where I had just kind of a lightning bolt of a word. And my word for this year, like, just pinged me, and it's hope. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means, because it kind of could be like a really fluffy means nothing word. But yeah, how is it going to impact my emotional, my mental, my relational, my spirituality, all my financial situation? How is it going to breathe into those things as kind of like you said, right? It starts really small and then it opens up this funnel on the backside of, okay, how do I practically live out that word?
Yeah. And that's when it's the fun part, right? So we in the book go through a 3-step process of discovering your word, which is look in, which is kind of preparing the heart and getting solitude and silence and just seeking out like, hey, what do I need? What needs to go? What needs to change? You know, I love Henry Nouwen says a word of power is birthed out of silence.
Hmm.
That when we actually get away and unplug, as we detach and unplug, which today is very hard to get untethered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like solitude and silence are 4-letter words.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And why would you want to do that? And so as we unplug, a word of power is birthed out of silence. And then after we look in, we look up, and, you know, again, Jimmy, John, and I are men of faith. So we say, look up to God and receive a God word, just not a good word. But even if people aren't people of faith, we say, look up, meaning get your eyes off yourself, right? We spend a lot of times looking at our own belly button.
Yeah.
Belly button means our head down and looking at self. If we can actually look up, look around, receive a word, whether you believe in God, we say receive a word from God or receive a word outside of yourself, transcendent purpose. That's look up. And then look out is what you talked about, Dawn, which is actually the fun part of actually journeying and living and experiencing your word every single day for the entire year. And so for you with hope, it's not about conquering your word. See, people sometimes think conquering your word is like, I'm going to become an expert at hope. I'm going to climb the mountain of hope and I'm going to stick a big flag on top of it. That's not what you do. You experience it. You live it. You know, some ups, downs, some journeys, some bumps and bruises, but you're living and you're wearing your word for the entire year.
Yeah, I like that because it's true so often. And I think anything that we do at the beginning of the year, kind of like your word document, right? It becomes like this thing that you want to look back on and be able to say, okay, yep, check. I lived out hope there. Okay, check. I did it here. Check, check, check. And it's, it alters the experience to live the word as opposed to try to accomplish the word, you know?
Yeah. You don't master your word or you don't conquer your word. I mean, that's important to understand because people think, okay, I got hope. Now I journeyed it for a year and I became an expert at hope. No, you might have failed miserably at hope. You just realized that this is a tough word, right? I remember my dad loved this one word concept, and he died back in 2008. I think if he was alive, we would sell like 2 million books. He would have been the biggest fan of it. But my dad one year came to me and goes, Dan, he said, I said, what's your word for next year? My dad goes, well, I'm going to do the same word. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, it was discipline. I found out I didn't do a good job at it. And I said, Dad, it's not about, you know, again, conquering your word or like becoming an expert at it. Like let that year stand as a year that you actually struggled with discipline. You know, it's one chapter to your story. It's one year to your life. You know, you're not allowed to do your word again. No redos, as we say in the book. And my dad, you know, he's an intense guy, gritted his teeth. He's like, it's my word. I can do what I want. And I go, it's my concept. You can't do your one word again.
I made up the rules.
That's right. That's right. So anyways, he decided to get another word.
That's awesome. Okay. So what are some practical tips to how we wear this word like a coat? Like, can you give us some ideas of how we kind of break those shackles of thinking of accomplishing things? We're such a checkmark accomplishment driven society. How do we kind of shake some of that loose and live into this idea of kind of living the word?
Yeah, I think I'll give some ideas of what we've seen, how people have kept it front and center. That's what we talk about, keeping it front and center as you live out your word. And there's a lot of different ways. You know, like what we did, Dawn, is as a family, when our kids were younger, on December 31st, we'd get canvases and we would paint our word. We would put it up in the kitchen right next to our table where we ate. And it was an ability for us to direct to our kids to say, hey, Abby, your word is deep this year. How are you living out your word today? You know, Eli, our son, your word's control. How'd you see this word manifest at school while you're working with your teachers and your fellow students? And so I think one of the things that people, you know, the real obvious one is what are visual cues to keep your word front and center? I just had lunch with a guy last week and he took me out to his car as he was leaving after lunch, and he loves the one word concept. And he reached into the side of his car door and he pulled out a yellow page. He goes, Dan, he goes, look at this yellow page. This is my one word, one pager that I put everywhere. He goes, I make like 30 copies and I stick them in my kitchen. I stick them in my bathroom. I stick them at my office. I stick them in my car. And when I have a spare moment, I pull out and I read quotes and concepts and verses about my one word that keeps it front and center for me as I wear my word for the year. that it gets comfortable and it's not awkward and doesn't fit, but instead it fits and I'm keeping it front and center.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful because even as I sit here, I think I was super excited on December 31st about this word that I, you know, got literally from outside of me, hope. And yet we're through January now and I had to think for a minute, what was my word again? Like I was super excited about it. And oh yeah, it was hope. Okay, I'm excited about it again, you know? So that's a really practical way. And I love the idea too of using quotes. So you're not just like sitting there thinking about your word. Okay, hope, hope, control, control. You know, it's like helping you expand and think about concepts around the word that really give you a fuller picture of what it looks like to live into it and experience it.
Yep. And like, for example, I have a one word 2020 and my word is for the year heart, having a heart for God, heart for people, be a heart leader, the heart of leadership. You know, I want to have a tender heart. I want to have a gentle heart, just not one that's a driving heart. And so already this word is becoming alive. So man, I'm getting quotes. I have a one word 2020 word document. My word document is a little bit different nowadays. And you know, I'm collecting quotes. And like, I just picked up a quote the other day, Martin Luther King says, you need a heart full of grace, you know? And I just thought, what are the other things I want my heart to be full of? You know, yeah. I want it to be full of grace. I want it to be full of kindness, but that's what makes a great leader. So it stimulates my mind as I pick up great quotes and I gather them in this document. Some people don't actually have a one word journal where all they do is just literally journal their word daily of how that word is coming alive, what it means to them. And then they're able to keep that journal year after year as they go forward. One of the great ways that we share in the book is about having a stretch team, not an accountability team. Accountability is like, I gotcha. You know, they're like finding out how you didn't live your word, where a stretch team is empowering you and helping you live out your word. So if you get like three or four people and you say, hey, here's my word. I want you to help me live my word to the fullest. And I want to help you live your word to the fullest. So now I'm not only just carrying my word, but I have a couple people that I love and care about that I'm raising their capacity and helping them live out their word to the fullest.
I love that.
I love that too. It's so great.
So as we have a few more minutes here, and I just wanted to hear some stories of how you've seen this impact people's lives. You said that you guys have experienced amazing things over the last 20 years of kind of working with this process. And I would just love to hear some of those stories to just encourage people that this isn't just an exercise that we can throw away. Like it will actually impact and make a big difference in our lives.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, one of the first years that we did it, Dawn, Jimmy's wife, Evelise, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And it was, you know, not looking good. And as a 30-year friend, I remember the day I was sitting actually in a supermarket parking lot in a car. As I was traveling and Jimmy says, Dan, I'm facing raising 4 kids on my own. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Elise is going to make it. And we talked about what that meant for him. And her word that year was believe. And her idea was that she's just going to believe God, that something, you know, supernatural was going to happen. She was going to believe in the people and her family and the people that loved her. And that year was a year of believe, and believe it or not, she was healed, like completely the cancer disappeared. And from that, she actually established a nonprofit organization called Believe Big that has raised millions of dollars with a new technology, a new healthy way to battle cancer. And now it's transformed and impacted literally thousands of lives and saved hundreds of people, all because this one word got manifested into more than just a one word for the year. It became into a life calling.
Yeah.
A blessing to others. That's one example. I remember the other one is in 2007, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, leukemia. And, you know, he was the type of guy that I thought would never die. I mean, he's just hard charger, you know, never let up, he always said, work hard, play hard. And we never played hard. We just worked hard all the time. And he just was a go, 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 do, do, do kind of guy. And he got diagnosed with leukemia. And that year, my word, I kind of went to God and I was pleading. And I said, my word for the year is healing. And I was thinking only one thing. I wanted physical healing for my dad. You know, like God, you can do this. And I believe you can do it. And you know, 5 months into 2008, my dad passed away. And I was so upset. I just thought, man, you saved Eva Lise, you know, why can't you save my dad? And, you know, I was angry and I thought my word failed. I thought God failed me. And I tell you, Dawn, as I journeyed the rest of that year, those last 7 months, I realized I was looking at healing through one of those dimensions, right? We talked about physical. And I didn't look at the spiritual and the relational and the emotional. And I saw God do all kinds of healing that happened way beyond what I ever thought, but I only was thinking in one dimension. And I look back and I just smile and I just go, man, that year was a year of healing. And I can smile and thank God for what he did that year in my life and others, even though I thought it was only one thing, and that was healing my dad. And so those are two great examples of how the one word came alive.
So that makes me think, hearing those two examples, it makes me wonder how much the one word concept directs us versus opens our eyes to what's already existing around us. And we start looking for ways that that word is manifesting. Does that make sense? You know, because I believe that God does heal. And I believe that God wants us to believe and do all those things. But I don't think that it happened just because you chose that word, right? Like, I feel like in some ways it just opened your eyes to the healing that God was doing. And you started to pick up all of these examples along your way.
Ryan here, and I'm so glad that I finally got to jump in after a crazy time dropping off kids right now. But it's kind of like the red Mazda effect on that. Like our friend Pam, she got this red Mazda, and I had never looked for them or seen them before. But as soon as she got one, it was like on the radar to see it. And it opened my eyes to red Mazdas, whereas belief could open your eyes to, in every moment thereafter, am I going to choose to go forward in belief or am I going to default to something else? Which I was thinking on the way over here too about how the word for your year helps you kind of define maybe your next step or makes clear your next step when it comes to decisions. And you guys may have already hit this in the, okay. So 1 year, my word was gratitude, and it helped me, when you identified an opportunity to express gratitude or something you were thankful for, it helped me define my next step of what to do. Mm-hmm. And it came out of a time of like deeply reflecting because of your guys's book and because of hanging out with John. Like it helped me define a great value of my life. And then once I had that value in front of me, it helped me figure out the next step actions in decision modes that were themed around gratitude. And it came out in all kinds of ways.
Yep. Are we there? So focus drives impact, right? And when we focus, there's great impact that comes on the backside.
Yeah, that's great. I love that quote, focus drives impact, because I love when things that are true about nature are also true in our spiritual lives, right? Like you can see in anything in nature, when you strike something with a focus, the impact is greater than when you just buckshot something, right? And I think the same thing is so true in our lives across the board. And that's kind of the power that this one word concept gives us to unleash in our lives. Like you were talking about, mentally, spiritually, relationally, financially, across the board, which is so cool. And the other thing that it does is, since it allows us to focus, it keeps us from dissipating our power in all of these other areas, right? Like we're not spinning our wheels in all of these directions. We're able to focus and maximize our own mental impact in this year.
That is spot on. You just nailed the very thing, because we believe there's power in simplicity, right? But in a very complex world, we don't value simplicity. We look at simple as stupid, not simple, powerful. So I love the quote, we drift to complexity, but we drive to simplicity, right? Yeah. If you do nothing with your life, at the end of the year, your life is going to be more chaotic, more confusing, more responsibilities, more expectations, and you're going to feel more overwhelmed, okay, if you do nothing. But if you drive towards simplicity, say no, eliminate things, and you're focusing on just a few things, like your one word, there's going to be great impact. So we drift to complexity, we drive to simplicity. That is the core of this whole message.
Yeah.
Of one word that would change your life.
So good. So I know it's making the case for one word and that focus, and I love the focus drives impact versus the life that feels like a Forrest Gump feather in the wind at the end of the year, where you go, I don't know how to make sense of what happened, but it all happened. You know, how do you, and you guys may have touched on this.
We touched on it. So
how can our listeners, our friends, our community just find their word that isn't just the flavor of the day for them?
Yeah. And we did go through the three-step process of look in, look up, and look out. But I like what you say, Ryan. So here's what I would say about that. What we didn't touch on is I would say don't, like some people come to me, they go, hey, Dan, you know, I'm not disciplined. My word's going to be disciplined. I'm like, hey, wait, time out. That's like a surface word. Like you're going to probably kill yourself because you're not good at that. Like go deeper. So partly is I say dig below the surface. And why aren't you disciplined? Well, I'm distracted. Okay, so you're not focused. Okay, why don't you focus? Dig deeper. And partly is through the process of looking in and preparing the heart and asking some tough questions and just getting ready for that. People just run into it like, oh, I got my word. I'm like, whoa, wait. Not saying that didn't come and that's not your word, but let's just take a step back and have a little bit of patience, a little bit of discipline to slow down and process through those and ask those tough questions like, hey, what needs to change my life? You know, what needs to be added to my life? You know, what needs to go in my life? And you ask some of these tough questions, then you're ready to experience kind of the below the waterline experience and digging deeper of what that word actually is. And you know, again, it comes a lot of different ways. Like even for this year, my word, as I shared, is heart. You know, I want to have a heart for God and a heart for people. I want to be passionate. But like this year, for the first time, I had a list of 5 words. I've never written out 5 words, but I felt like 5 words. And I started kind of praying through them and thinking through them and asking people and kind of trying on each word for 24 hours. And hey, that didn't really feel too good. And hey, that's not a good word. And I narrowed it down to 2. And then into the last week, I really felt like it wasn't really like me like pulling a rabbit out of the hat or me picking the word. I'm very careful about saying pick a word, but it's more about finding your word, discovering your word, or receiving your word.
Yeah, that's good.
So good. Dan, we're so grateful that you gave us this time. And we're just so thankful for dropping wisdom on us. I can't wait to go back and hear the part
this
that
was
I missed.
Such a great
beginning.
Conversation. Yeah.
And we will make sure that we have links to not only your book, but what else would you encourage us to look into?
You know, one of the things I would say is what we've experienced is this the whole paradigm shift of one word is this is a lot of people are like, hey, even the title one word will change your life. So it's a lot of like, what can I get out of it, right? Like I want to have more meaning and mission. I want to have more power and purpose. And that will happen. But the real, like the flip switcher is one word, yes, will change your life. But the big effect is as you live your word out, it impacts those around you. Like that's the beauty of it. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about how God can use you as a vessel as you live out your word to touch and impact people around you. And for example, with Uncommon Good, like that's what you're all about, is you want your organization to impact San Diego and California and the whole country. And as you live out, could you imagine if all of us lived out our one word, how the people around us and the communities would be changed, the families would be changed? That's the power of the one word. Not just, oh, I'm better, I'm a better me, but we're a better community. And that's the beauty of one word.
Dan,
so good.
Thank you so much for this. I can't wait to see how it's going to impact our community and then through our Uncommon Good community, the larger community. So thank you for being a part of this conversation. And we will catch up with our podcast listeners next time. But Cody likes to drop our tag.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Cody. Let's go. Drop it.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this. We're so grateful that we got this out to you this week because we have an event coming up this Sunday called Good Night, and it's going to be a good night. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we covered in this podcast about rest. The topic is the spirituality of rest, and we covered some of that in our conversation today with talking about getting quiet, untethering, unplugging from the noise of the day-to-day, so maybe you can find your word for the year. But we're going to talk a lot more about that this Sunday. It's a free event. You can buy food and drinks there at Mainstream Bar and Grill in Poway, and we'd love, love, love for you to come Sunday night, 6:30. You can find information about that on our website, uncommongoodsd.com/events. You can follow us on social media at uncommongoodsd. And we're so grateful that you joined us for this conversation today. Until next time, peace.